Morning. Good to see you all, and thank you for joining us today. I think it's a special day for a lot of reasons. We got a baby shower for the Wrights, for Walker. Nice. Yeah, and lots of fun things happen. We had a church yard sale yesterday, made a little bit of money for the youth group, I think. We're starting a new series today. I'm always excited about that. We're going to talk about church elders. And we're going to take our time looking at leadership in the church. This is specifically in regard to elders in a local congregation, but also I think these are lessons about spiritual leadership in general. We're going to take our time doing this because the scriptures tell us a lot about elder qualifications, the kind of character that we're aiming for. These are things that all disciples of Jesus should really be striving for, because what we're really talking about when we look at these qualifications is growth in Christ-likeness. And Christ-like things are good, not just for men, certain men, but they're good for men and women and young people and old people. And we need to hold that in our memory. And I think that even though we're talking about elders specifically, I think if you have a listening heart and a desire to grow to become more like Jesus, there's plenty to remind me of these. And I thought, you know, I need to have those out front of all of them. They want to know who's going to be at the top of that pecking order. Who is the greatest? And Jesus really, you know that the rulers of this world lord it over their people, and officials flaunt their authority over those under them. But among you it be the slave of everyone else. For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve others, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Do you hear these words? How many church disasters could have been avoided if all of the brothers and all of the sisters and all of the leaders took this commandment of Jesus serious? Well, before we can really jump into a discussion about elders, I want to spend just a few moments this morning talking about the church. Biblical eldership does not exist apart from the local congregation. We live in a time of broad societal withdrawal from organized things, organizations across the board of anything, including religious organizations. We live in a time where attention spans are short. Some of you have already, your thoughts have already started to wander. A few more minutes, I'll be in some of your guys' sleep zone. As Jonathan mentioned, we gravitate toward individualism over community again and again and again. And some of us are so introverted that we have become socially awkward to the point we're really almost incapable of creating and maintaining healthy relationships with other people. Us guys, we have a problem with this, especially sometimes. Many people, even many who call themselves Christian, we live in a time where they question the importance and the relevance of church. Tell me, how many of you have heard a statement like this before? I'm a spiritual person, I just don't need the church. Variations of that, maybe. Maybe not those exact words, but something close to that. Some people have probably said those words. And it's been a struggle to fight that. Some of you are in the midst of that question of, do I really need this? Because from what I can see, it's not all good, and it's not always helpful. And maybe it would be better to just strike off alone. Scary words. I think another challenge to the church today is we don't mean to do this, but we approach the church as an institution that dispenses religious goods and services. So people come here because this is good for the kids. I want something good for my kids. So we look and we try to find the best youth program. We look for the best worship experiences. Wow, the Spirit was really moving today. And we judge a worship experience by my own very personal self-serving criteria of how did it make me feel? I felt uplifted. I felt good about it. We judge churches by a lot of different things. Their facilities. They obviously got a lot going on. They got a nice facility. The appearance of people. Oh, these are people like me. Good looking, well put together, fairly smart. Not quite as smart as I am, but they're... We judge churches by the preaching. That Calvin guy. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'd give him a 6. But I love you, whoever said that. I don't know. And I love you if you say -1 too. 5.5, 6. He's a little goofy, so yeah, let's say solid 6 out of 10. So sometimes we come to the church with all kinds of assumptions. And it's not a question that we would ask out loud because we've all learned how to behave well. But sometimes there's an internal question there. What is this church doing for me? What am I getting out of this? How is this helping me? And we assume that if our particular needs are being met, if this church is helping me feel fulfilled, if I'm getting a spiritual experience, if I'm happy with the way things are being done, then it's a good church. That's an assumption we all tend to naturally bring at one time or another. But what about a church that calls a sin, even when you don't like it? What about a church that isn't so concerned with you being happy and fulfilled, but a church that calls you to repentance and accountability? What about a community of faith that is so close to us that with gentleness and love they constantly call us toward greater maturity and greater Christ-likeness, becoming more like Jesus? Is there room for that kind of church in our paradigm? Well, we need to ask, what does the Bible say about the church? What is the goal of church? Now, there's a lot of things. Churches do a lot of things, and there's a lot of important works of the church. But what if the goal of the church wasn't to make you happy and spiritually fulfilled, as you judge it in your own eyes? What if the goal of the church was to proclaim Jesus, to warn people, to teach and admonish them, and to push them toward growth? We don't like to be pushed toward growth. Have you noticed that? Get your act together and stop whining. Pull up your big boy pants and get to it. Do you like being told that? I don't mind unless it's true. And when I feel called out, that's when I'm just like, well, let me tell you. He is the one we proclaim, admonishing and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone fully mature in Christ. One of the things that we are doing, This is where we are getting healthy. This is where we're being challenged. This is where we're being encouraged in good things. This is where we're being pushed to grow, to become fully mature in Christ. If an elder remembers this and pushes us in this direction, that man is a spiritual leader that the Holy Spirit is going to use to bless a lot of people. If you, as a man or a woman, keep this in mind and you live that kind of walk, you're going to be a blessing to a lot of people. You're going to help a lot of people. The function of the church, and this would be the central mission of anyone who would lead the church, is to teach, to admonish, and help people grow into maturity, to become more like Jesus. Here's another one. This one blows my mind, but we need to read this verse. So that was first one's Colossians 1:28. Look at this from Ephesians 3:10 and 11. God's intent was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. The church, that is, think about us as we currently are right now, the Eugene Church of Christ. We are not the church that we will be. We can get better, we can get worse. And like Jesus works with you individually and with your family in your brokenness, in your sin, in your rebellion, so the Spirit works in the church despite our weakness, despite our rebellion, despite our lack of faith. Somehow, the Lord is still here working. Somehow the Lord has still not given up his dream for this congregation. I believe that. Here's a crazy thought. And this is really crazy. But I'm going to ask you to entertain this anyway. Sometimes we need to look at the crazy. You ready for this? What if your idea of the ideal church is not the church that you really need? What if the church you really need is the messed up church you're currently in? Did you know we have problems here? I know this is shocking to some of you. There's something about the reality of church. Not the church as ideal, not the church as we would have it be. There's something about the reality of church as we are now, that if you have eyes that see and ears that hear and a heart that is open to it, this church in some way is able to help you grow in maturity and Christ-likeness. I believe that. There are plenty of people who say they don't need the church. It's too much hassle. I know, you should have heard what so-and-so said. There are plenty of people who say they don't need the church. There are plenty of people who leave the church. I've just had it. I've had my fill. There are plenty of people who use the church. What do I get out of this? When's the last time they did something like that for me? Plenty of people who blame the church. They should have blamed the church. Justified, unjustified, they blame the church. Plenty of people who can tell you a long list of everything that's wrong with the church. And yet, there are amazing men and women who love the Lord's church despite all of its flaws, all of its difficulty, all of the things it hasn't grown to become yet. And as best as I can understand it, the reason why someone would love a church like that is because that's the way they love their Savior. Love for Jesus will keep you here and keep you coming, even when it's not easy, maybe especially when it's not easy. There always are people, every congregation I've been in, who give sacrificially to the church. They love their church. They encourage their church. They build up their church. They serve their church. They stay with their church when everyone else is walking away. It takes a lot of faith in Jesus to work with the reality of church and not my dream of the church. I think every church that I've been blessed to be a part of has beautiful souls. A lot of times it's quiet work, very humble work, all of the behind-the-scenes stuff that has to go on. Sometimes these people don't have a lot of recognition. They tend to be ignored. And yet they're there making the congregation better. I believe that an elder should always be a man of the church, a churchman. An elder should always be someone who takes the church seriously. A man for the church. And the reason why he's a man for the church is because he wants to be a man for Christ. On a personal level, I'll just share my story a little bit, just a little piece of it. I was raised in the church. I grew up in the church. I was discipled. I learned my Bible in the church. I learned the songs of the church. But I haven't always been a man for the church. See, I learned things as I grew up. I know something about the legalism of the churches of Christ. I know something about heavy-handed elders and elderships. I've been witness to things that I would even classify as a kind of spiritual abuse. I know something about what it feels like to be bored and unfulfilled and feel stuck in your church situation. I know something what it feels like to leave a church and the excitement of picking a new church. And then the discovery, you know, they're even more messed up than that other place. And that's not to say that clearly there wouldn't be times that this needs to happen, that it should be done. But to stand with a church and for a church because of your love for Christ, it wasn't a level of maturity that I fully understood or even respected as a younger man and even as a younger missionary. In fact, some of my experience with elderships, as I would try to steer around them and their authority, and sometimes I felt like they were in the way of the Lord's purposes and plans. I know that that's an arrogant, judgmental thing to say, but you know, sometimes I'm an arrogant, judgmental person. And you have to grow out of those things. And I've had elders who helped me recognize those things and helped me grow past them, and who saw me in my brokenness and my sin, and instead of discouraging me, instead of making me feel gross and bad for what I've done or what I've been, they tell me that they believed in me. They've told me they're proud of me. They've said, I believe in you. And as I've grown in my walk with the Lord, I appreciate that more than I ever could as a younger man. Men who are willing to stand in the gap, to catch the flack that comes with it. I was talking to two former elders this morning, men who have served in that role, and they talked about the heaviness of it and the blessedness of it and how good it is. Well, you know who else is a believer in the church? Jesus. Jesus is a dreamer. And he's a believer in the local congregation. Even to the point where he says, this, whatever we're doing here, it has the potential to knock down the gates of hell. A church when we're healthy, a church that gets it right, a church that is being led by spiritually mature, totally in love, sold out disciples of Jesus, we have the potential to create and do a lot of good things in this world. So many good things that we can be doing in this world. Things that change lives, things that save lives. Things that I believe are going to impact people for all eternity. There was a slide with a crow, I was thinking of that. Did you see the death and taxes thing? Through the work of the church, and through the work of the way the Lord uses the scriptures, the way the Lord uses the indwelling Holy Spirit, we grow in certainty of other things, more than just death and taxes. Because of what can happen here, we can be certain of other things through faith, like this. I know that my Redeemer lives. And I will see him with my own eyes. I, and not another. Me, myself. Words from Job. I know that my Redeemer lives. An elder, first and foremost, needs to be a believer in the Lord's dream of the church. Because when a church gets healthy, there's nothing like it in this world. Nothing like it in this world. And nothing can stop a church in love with their Savior. So as we begin with our discussion this morning about being an elder, whether you have served as an elder, whether you're currently serving as an elder, or whether you're considering serving as an elder, maybe not even anytime soon, but someday out there. The question that you have to start with is this: is your dream of the church big enough for this kind of task? Because Jesus' plans for the church are huge. God's plans for the church are huge. Somehow we are being made into a showpiece that's going to make the heavenly realms, those spiritual bigwigs up there, just scratch their heads, because somehow the manifold wisdom of God is being displayed in the brokenness, in the messiness, and the goodness of the local church. What we may become in the power of the Holy Spirit, it really does take vision and good leadership to grow into those things. and God's plan for spiritual leadership in the church? It's elders. It's an eldership. And while elders do serve an administrative function, they oversee all aspects of the church. I really want to begin with this discussion of the church this morning because hopefully that we can see that the primary charge of an elder, it is a spiritual charge. And it's a spiritual charge that needs to be entrusted to spirit-filled men. Spirit-filled men and the spirit-filled women who stand beside them. I think there are a lot of Christians and even many elders who have not clearly understood that role in such spiritual terms, that you are called to be an under-shepherd of the Good Shepherd and help grow people toward Christ-likeness and transformation. So here's one challenge, that when we talk about elders, we tend to import other leadership models that we see at work in this world when we begin to talk about elderships, different kind of paradigms. A lot of people, sometimes even some elders, assume eldering is like, or shepherding is like, administering a school, running a company, commanding a battalion, managing a project, directing operations, overseeing subcontractors, serving on a board of trustees. And while many of these skills could potentially be really good and useful to an elder, the task of shepherding a church is really unique from any of these things. And when you go and you have this kind of mindset, if I think I'm commanding a battalion, I'm looking around at the insubordination I know is happening in this group of people. It's an insufficient model and paradigm. So what are some good reasons for wanting to become an elder then? If it's not just that, if it's more than that, and if it is a spiritual thing, well, what does that look like? Well, that's what we're going to spend some time talking about in this series. What are some good reasons for wanting to be an elder? I've been a faithful and hardworking church member for a long time. I've paid my dues, and now it should be my turn to lead. I have made big donations, and big donors deserve to have a fair say. Besides, this congregation would really benefit from someone with a little business sense. The church needs me. And if I don't step up, other less qualified men are going to try to take control. I'm a successful leader in my job, in my vocation. So it only makes sense that I would lead in the church as well. It's just logical. Which one of these is a good reason to serve as an elder? If any of you have seen that series, Lost in Space? Danger, Will Robinson, danger! This is a dangerous heart. This is the heart that we should, you know, not allow to be in spiritual oversight over us. It's the kind of heart that's insufficient for the challenges, the spiritual challenges that are going to come And not one of these ideas here has anything to do with the criteria that the New Testament provides. So we're going to talk about what are some of the things that would qualify a man to serve as an elder. Paul begins this discussion for us today with 1 Timothy 3:1. This saying is trustworthy. If anyone aspires to be an overseer, he desires a noble work. And Peter has this to say about it: shepherding God's flock among you, not overseeing out of compulsion, but freely, according to God's will. Elder qualification number one: you desire it. Not deserve it. I accidentally misspelled it, and I was like, ooh, that's like the worst Freudian slip thing ever. Not you deserve it, you desire it. Aspiration, desire, and freedom. If anyone aspires, if he desires, not out of compulsion, but freely, in accordance with God's will. That means that in some way, for a man to be an elder, you have to be working these things out with the Lord. You don't serve as an elder because all of these people are telling you to be an elder. You don't serve as an elder because they really need an elder and no one else is willing to do it, so I guess I can stand in the gap. You don't serve as an elder because Calvin told me I should be doing this. And a key area of discipleship where I think we're getting into a real problem right now in churches is that we've failed to make things like commitment, we have failed to make ministry, we have failed to make spiritual leadership a desirable thing that we should aspire toward. And instead, the product of our churches a lot of times is, who would ever want to do that? A bunch of whiny babies. Why in the world would you ever put that kind of target on your back? And we don't have a dream and a vision of how beautiful it can be. We don't see how that by standing up and saying yes to Jesus Christ in that way, we don't see fully how it could bless a whole lot of other people. And so sometimes when we think about elderships, we bring all of this complicated baggage with it. Some of us have known elders who were a really poor fit and probably should have never served as an elder in the first place. They have used their power and authority in unchrist-like ways. They have lorded it over other people. And on the other end of that equation, maybe you have known elders maybe a father, maybe a friend, maybe a husband, and you saw how the church ground them down. Good men. Problem makers, divisive members, petty members, members who disrespected, discouraged, and exhausted very good and godly men. Maybe some of you have seen some of that too. But as we end this morning, Let me say this. I think the only sufficient reason for a man to become an elder is because they have an ever-growing love of Jesus Christ. If that is not the heart behind someone in that role, there's a real problem. There are a lot of timid men in churches. There are a lot of spiritual cowards out there. There are a lot of men who will sit back and watch the Lord's church burn, either because they're distracted or they don't care enough about it. But even with all of the challenges, even in this messy world that we are in today, there are still maybe some, a few, who when the call of the Lord comes, it's like that call of the prophet Isaiah. Have you read Isaiah chapter 6? He realizes he's just completely unworthy of that task. I'm a man of unclean hands and of an unpure heart. Woe is me. And yet God does something to take care of that. And when that call comes, who will I send? Sometimes there's something godly that rises up inside of a man to say, here I am, send me. I love you, Jesus Christ, enough that I will stand in the gap for your church and your people. That's the kind of heart that we want. So over these next few weeks, here's what we're going to be talking about. There has to be something. A man has to work out with the Lord. And you do this with your family. And you do this together with your wife. A willingness to serve. That something in you says yes to Jesus with this. Not because people are talking about this or church, not because of this crisis here and this is what's happening and we got to move the pieces this way or the other. We don't know what we're doing. The Spirit knows everything. And unless you have that desire that's God-given, that has to be the ground floor. And maybe it's not there now, but we're praying for it. I want you to know there's a lot of people in this church praying for who's going to be able to step up and fulfill these roles. And the big one that we need to talk about, and we'll start talking about next week, is that our spiritual leaders really need to exemplify godly character. Just because you're an elder does not make you a perfect man. And yet there is a kind of character that has been forged over the course of many years. It becomes something that we trust and that we look to and that we desire to see from those who would shepherd us. So there's a lot that we need to talk about number two. Another quality or qualification of elders is that they know their Bible. They know their Bible enough that they can instruct others in the Christian life. Elders are also a person who would protect the congregation. They know the Scriptures well enough that they could refute heresy if necessary. Another qualification is, how do you lead your family? Your family's a mess, and you think you need to be leading the Lord's church? We got to have a serious conversation about that. you lead your family well. And then another criteria is that you're an established believer. You're not a new convert. You've had time to wear off some of those rough edges. You've had time to become a man of the church more, to stand for godly things, to be with the Lord's people and to love them with a Christ-like heart. It takes time to learn how to do something like this well. So we get to talk about all of these good things, but this is just a preview for what's coming. So thank you for bearing with me today as we kind of begin this conversation. But I'm excited to have the conversation because I think there's so much potential for goodness in talking about these things and trying to grow in our desire to become more like Jesus Christ in some of the ways that the scriptures are going to describe these roles to us. So if you need the prayers of the church, if you'd like to put the Lord on in baptism and begin that discipleship journey empowered by the Holy Spirit in your life, we always make opportunities for that. And let's go ahead now and stand and sing our invitation song together.